Good morning. If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Brian Jerby. I am a student at RTS, one semester left. So I'm so happy to be here with you today. And I think we're going to have a great time in God's Word together. Our text today is Luke chapter 9 and verses 10 through 17. Now, this is one of the accounts of the feeding of the 5,000. And you probably know the story, right? And you know that it was 5,000 men. The women and the children weren't counted, but if you add those in, there was about 20,000 people. So it's really the feeding of the 20,000, right? And if you are like, well, I can't picture 20,000 in my mind, how big is that? Well, Spectrum Center, downtown Charlotte, 20,000 people fit into the Spectrum Center. That's the number of people that we're talking about today. And there are four accounts of the feeding of the 5,000. Other than the resurrection, it's the only miracle that Jesus performed that's in all four Gospels. So the Holy Spirit must want us to really pay attention. But our danger is that, you know, I grew up, I've been in the church, I grew up with, you know, I know this feeding the 5,000 story. You know it in your mind, but the question is, do you know it in your heart? The question to me, do I know it in my heart? Do I live it in my life? And I hope to demonstrate to you what that looks like today. So Jesus says in Mark 4:24, take heed how you hear. Let's not blow off this story because we are so familiar with it. Let us pay close attention to it and hear the voice of God as His word is read. Luke 9, 10 through 17. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Let's pray. Oh Lord, now place your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Open our eyes, open our ears that we may hear wondrous things from your word, and then give us the ability in our lives to live these out for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to get to know someone better, what do you do? Well, a really great way to do that is to eat with them. And Luke must have really liked the idea of eating meals with Jesus, because in no less than 10 accounts in the book of Luke, does he show Jesus eating with people? What a great way to get to know Jesus in a meal. And the meal that we have today, the meal that we are going to see is this. Jesus Christ is our all in all. That's what Luke wants us to see. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. Jesus Christ is our all in all. So right out of the gate, this terminology needs to be defined, right? So all in all has kind of evolved over time, like much of our language does. And so you might say, as a summary statement, oh, well, all in all, it was a pretty good day, right? But really, that's not how all in all originated. All in all, if you were to say, Jesus Christ is my all in all, like we just sang, if you were to say that in time gone by, you wouldn't be summarizing. You would be putting him in a supreme position in your life. Jesus Christ is my all in all. He's my everything. He is all in all to me. And so the question is today, can you say, can I say, Jesus Christ is my all in all? Now, we don't do that perfectly, do we? But do you have this desire? Do you have this desire in your heart that Jesus Christ would be supremely important in your life? Well, Luke's account of the feeding of 5,000, Luke wants to showcase this truth that Jesus Christ is all in all, and he wants to show us in three ways, okay? So number one, Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is sympathetic to our weaknesses. Number two, Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is sufficient for all our needs. And then lastly, number three, Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is satisfaction for all of our souls. So first of all, Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is sympathetic to all our weaknesses. Now look at the scripture, verse 10, it says this, that Jesus Christ had sent his disciples out and they had been doing many works. They had been preaching the gospel. They had been healing people. They had been doing all these things and there was no rest. There was no rest for the weary. So what does Jesus say? Come apart and rest a while. It says in verse 10, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. He said, come apart and rest a while. Jesus Christ is sympathetic to the limits of our human bodies, the limits of our human minds. Why? Because he walked this earth with a body just like ours and a mind just like ours, except for sin. He was subject to fatigue. He was subject to sorrows. He was subject to pain. He knew that his disciples needed rest, and he knows that we need rest also. So he puts his stamp of approval on respites, on retreats, even on vacations. And he calls us even daily to come apart and rest a while, to rest with him in a quiet place so that we can hear him speak to us in his word, and we can tell him about all our troubles. Tell him about our anxieties, the things that we are struggling with. He would never turn away from us because he is sympathetic to our weakness. He's saying to you and to me today, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I, Jesus says, will give you rest. He's sympathetic to all our weaknesses. So they tried to get away, didn't they? And they were going apart to rest, but then the crowds heard about it. And the crowds scurried around. If you know anything about the geography of the place, the crowds scurried around the top of the body of water to find Jesus and his disciples in this place that was for them to be apart. And if it were me, And I was like, we're finally here. It's time for vacation. And then we're like, and here they come. All kinds of people. And I was said, oh no, here they come. They were all seeking him. They were all seeking Jesus. And though you might have said, and I certainly would have said, oh man, send them away. Jesus opens his arms. And he welcomes them, the scripture tells us. It didn't matter who they were or where they came from. He welcomes them. Other gospels say he had compassion on them, for they were as sheep without a shepherd. They were ceremonially unclean. They were diseased. They probably didn't smell good. But Jesus had compassion on them and welcomed them with open arms. And indeed, the scripture also tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday and today and forever, that same Jesus that welcomed the massive crowd then is the same Jesus that welcomes us today with open arms. He sees you here today and he welcomes you. Isn't that a comforting thought? Jesus Christ welcomes you with open arms and says, come unto me, everyone. He doesn't care if you're self-absorbed, self-righteous, liars, cheaters, lovers of money, worriers, gossipers, grumblers. He welcomes us all, sinners though we are. He doesn't care what your sin is, because Jesus Christ welcomes sinners like us. He's sympathetic to all of our weaknesses, like the woman at the well. Remember the story? The woman at the well? He knows everything that we ever did. He knows every sin that we ever committed. And you or I might say, oh no, if I knew all that about him, I wouldn't have anything to do with him. But Jesus says, come unto me. He welcomes us with open arms. He is sympathetic to the fact that we were born as slaves to sin, as was just read from Ephesians, right? He's sympathetic to that, but he says that I have come to set you free. And whom the Son sets free, what? Shall be free indeed. What blessed truths are these, that he is sympathetic to all of our weaknesses. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. And as believers, we still struggle with sin, right? We still have our struggles. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, cast all your cares upon Jesus Christ because he cares for you. He knows all about our struggles. Go to him, for he is able to heal all of your soul's diseases. Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is sympathetic with all our weaknesses. And then number two, Jesus Christ is our all in all because he is sufficient for all of our needs. The disciples and me would be saying, send them away. We're in this desolate place. We don't have a crumb of food to feed them. We don't have what's needed. But Jesus, how does he respond? Jesus wants his compassion to be their compassion. He wants his compassion to be his disciples' compassion. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, he wants his compassion to be your compassion as well. And he says, you give them something to eat. But not only does he want his compassion to be their compassion, he also wants to test them, doesn't he? He wants to try their faith. He says, you give them something to eat. And if you flip over to the book of John, John gives us this detail. He says that Philip, one of the disciples, quickly started doing some calculations. So he's like, let's see, how much would that take? There's X number of people. How much would we have to buy? He's one of those people that was always concerned about the details and whether or not there was going to be enough in the treasury and enough for all the people. He was doing these calculations, right? I tease my wife, not infrequently, about a guy that she dated when she was in high school. And guys, young men, single guys, don't do this, okay? But this guy, she went out with him, I think, one time, and that was it. That might give you a little idea what went on. But he asked her on a date and was going to take her to this really elegant dining establishment. I think it was called Captain D's. Or Long John Silver's. One of the two. But they walked in, and they looked up on the board, and she was going to choose one of those. And he goes, you want the one-piece fish and fry, right? And she was like, I'm hungry. One piece fish and fry is not enough. I'm going to starve. Well, she ended up getting the one piece of fish and fry because he insisted. He was doing the calculations, just like Philip. So what Philip was doing is he says, even if we bought 15,000 one piece fish and fries, which would cost about 60 to 75 grand in today's money, if we bought 15,000, we still wouldn't have enough for each one to have but a little. But here's the problem. Philip left Jesus Christ out of the calculations, didn't he? Here's the creator of the world standing before them. He's the one who raised the dead in front of their very eyes. He's the one who caused fish to go in their nets. Remember that story? He just had healed diseases. And they can't see that he is standing right there in front of them. Guys, I'm right here. But before we get critical of the disciples, let's be honest with ourselves. Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us, hasn't he? He promised to always be with us. But we leave him frequently. We leave him out of our calculations. Unbelief causes our glasses to get foggy. It causes our eyes of faith to become dim. We can't see Jesus clearly even when he's right there in front of us. Right there with us always. And here's another problem. Jesus asked them, all of the disciples. Okay, well, just Philip, right? And what does the scripture said? That they all agreed that they didn't have enough. None of them could see Jesus sitting right there in front of them. Friends, unbelief is contagious. Unbelief spreads. It's infectious. It spread quickly. They all agreed that what they had was dismal. Not enough for 20,000 people. And so we have to continually ask ourselves, are we leaving Christ out of the calculations of our life? Where does the faith in the all-sufficient Christ come into play in our everyday lives, in our plans as Grace Covenant Church to advance the kingdom in South End, in Charlotte, and indeed to the uttermost part of the earth? Oh, friends, let me tell you, Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to meet all of our needs, all of them. to exceed all of our expectations, to advance His kingdom even in these dark days. He is able to save the worst of sinners. He is able to revive our souls. He is able to fill this place up with worshipers of Jesus Christ. Don't leave Christ out of the calculations, out of your calculations, out of our calculations, because Jesus Christ is our all in all. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only factor in the equation that matters, right? He must be preeminent in all of our calculations. Every moment of every day. He is sufficient for all our needs, and one of our needs is to take the good news of His all-sufficiency to a world that is dying. John tells us that where they got the five loaves and the two fish from a little boy, right? A little boy gave all he had to Jesus. And by the way, moms, wouldn't it have been great to be that mom that packed the little boy's lunch and said, "Here you go, Jimmy. Go see Jesus," and then find out that Jesus took what you packed and that your son gave it to Jesus, and Jesus fed 20,000 people? Wouldn't that have been great? Warmed your heart as a mom or as a dad. What a great thought that He is able to take what little you have and create so much more. What do you have that you're willing to give up for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? You get time, money, forging friendships, having people over for meals, caring for people's souls, a word of encouragement here, a word of comfort there, a tract left, a Bible strategically placed. Jesus is able to make these little things sufficient to do great things in our lives as His disciples. So let's not discount even the smallest of deeds, a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stop looking at our limitations and get our eyes on Jesus, the all-sufficient one, the one who is able to meet all of our needs and is definitely sufficient for all of our lives. Number three, then, Jesus Christ is all in all because He is satisfaction for our souls. Look at verse 17. I love this verse. "And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces." What a marvelous demonstration of the God of plenty, right? None, not a single one, no, not one, went away hungry. They were all satisfied. Jesus was more than able to satisfy the hunger of 20,000 people with five little biscuits and two dried fish. Believers, there's a lesson for us here. There's a lesson for us. Enough food for 20,000 people didn't just appear. It's like the disciples, the glasses were foggy. They couldn't see Jesus. But then it's not all that Jesus said the words and then enough for 20,000 people appeared out of nowhere. And then they could say, "Oh, yeah, I see what Jesus is going to do now." No. The Greek, if you'll permit me, the Greek says that the disciples went out and distributed and then came back, and Jesus broke off more. They went out, distributed, came back. Every time they came back, Jesus kept breaking off giving more, more, more. And if it were me, I was like, where is this coming from? I can't see it. I can't see it. But with eyes of faith, we keep going back to Jesus to receive fresh supplies of grace to help in time of need. Fresh supplies to give that word of encouragement to our coworker, or a student at school, or a family member. We go back for more grace to know how to help someone like Cedric, who's losing parts of his body and struggling with his health. Cedric, right? Yes. Go to Jesus to receive the grace to inform you of how to speak a word of encouragement to him or whoever. Or your coworker who's lost and obviously dead in trespasses and sins and needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to him. He'll break off fresh supplies. He will keep giving grace upon grace. In fact, he will lavish grace upon us, Ephesians says, that Jesus Christ lavishes grace upon us. Jesus keeps giving. He is satisfaction for all of our souls. Keep coming to Jesus for fresh supplies from the bread of life. But Jesus is not done yet teaching us, his disciples, about his abundant grace. Not only is Jesus able to physically feed and satisfy 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he is able to satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. He is satisfaction for all that our souls need. Well, you might say, I'm pretty satisfied with who I am. I really don't need this Jesus that you're talking about. Well, there was a very wise and eminent poet of United States, Bruce Springsteen, who wrote a song that has this one truth in it: everybody has a hungry heart. And it's really true. We are a restless people apart from God. We're restless, looking for peace and contentment, identity, belonging, intimacy, friendship, eternal life. These are deeply spiritual hungers. Augustine, the theologian from centuries ago, said this one thing, probably his most famous statement. And he said, Lord, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. It's really true. So the better question is not, are you hungry? The better question is, what are you hungry for? Maybe it's for contentment. Maybe it shows up in how you think about money or your house or things in general. Maybe your hunger shows up for a quest for identity. Maybe your life is all about you. Well, you will not find true peace in any of these things, in yourself or any other person in this world, or any other thing in this world. You will not find true identity in anyone else. You will not find rest for your soul in any of these things that I just mentioned. You will not find true friendship, true deep friendship, apart from Jesus Christ. People today are lonely, aren't they? People today have relationships that are online. Their friends are virtual. They live in a digital false reality. Friends, these things will never satisfy anyone's souls. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29 says this. Jesus says this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's not a friend. We sang it, didn't we? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus Christ is satisfaction for all of our souls. Find your satisfaction in Him. And then what I think is one of the greatest parts of this story, and what was left over was picked up. There wasn't any waste. And it equaled 12 baskets full. To faithless eyes, the 5 little biscuits and the 2 dried fish. Oh, how inadequate this appears. How could this feed 20,000 people? How can this gospel message that you take to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to your fellow students, to people that you meet on the street or in the restaurants or wherever you live your lives, how can this simple gospel message change people's lives? Well, only because of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and the satisfaction that He gives souls. Oh, friends, can this book change the world? Yes. In this book, we find truths that are satisfaction for our souls. He creates life out of death, doesn't He? We read that in Ephesians chapter 2. He makes peace out of chaos, for He Himself is our peace. Ephesians also tells us. He takes unbelief and turns it into faith. Only Jesus Christ can meet all our needs, but not just meet them. There is so much that it overflows into 12 baskets full. Jesus, friend of sinners, bread of life, living water, the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world, He is more than enough to satisfy all the deepest desires of our souls. So friends, remember these 3 things. That Jesus Christ is our all in all because He is able to sympathize with all your weaknesses. He is sufficient for all of your needs. And He is satisfaction for all of your souls. Go to Him. His arms are wide open. And you will find eternal rest with Him as your all in all. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, You're standing here in our midst, for where 2 or 3 are gathered, You said, there I am in the midst of them. Lord, You are here. Oh, God, show Yourself great to these eyes of faith, that we may make You our all in all. For You sympathize with us. You are sufficient for us. And Your satisfaction for all of our souls. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.